I used to do this thing. One of my favorite things to do was to burrow my head into the corner of this really fluffy couch we had and to cover my eyes with my palms.
From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
I would stick my head as deep into the couch as I could to get the darkest possible place for my head and for my eyes. And I would start to press on my eyes. I think a lot of kids have realized when you press on your eyes, when they're closed, you start to see colors and patterns. Swirling, blooming colors that you see when you press on your eyes in the dark. I was a little embarrassed about what I was doing in the corner of the couch, and I would, you know, do it when I was alone, when I knew no one was watching.
Why is it hard to talk about your mom?
I really struggle to remember concrete moments with my mother, my mother's voice, or places that we would go, or I don't remember her way of talking. Maybe it's hard to talk about her because I don't have a concrete idea of who she was.
Sometimes when I'm trying to remember something or someone or some place that I don't have access to in the immediate moment that's inaccessible through time or distance or death or what have you, I feel like I kind of create like dictionary definition entries for them where it's like not encapsulating of someone's full person, but I have like one memory that I can jump to represent them close enough so I can remember who they are. Do you have a dictionary definition of your mother, or is it more complicated than that?
I think I have sort of a fantasy dictionary of my mother in the sense that because so much of who she was, I don't seem to remember. I can kind of latch on and choose the best parts or choose what parts of my mother I wish I wish I had. You know, she was loving. She was weird. She was angry. But she cared so much about me and my sister and my brother. I think maybe the idea of my mom that I hold on to the most is someone who is protecting us. My sister and I have a theory. And it's that she knew long before we knew that she had cancer and that she was dying.
Do you think your theory is that you and your sister have is right?
I do.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
a glow around your head.
The podcast about
the unknown.
When's the last time you talked to Santo?
Not since 2003. He said that we had really beautiful auras.
And what did that mean to you at the time?
Absolutely nothing. It was an afternoon. Yeah. My sister and my brother and I were visiting my mother's friends in British Columbia after her death. She grew up in Hope, BC, this little mountain town, a first-generation Italian. Most of her friends growing up were Italian, Santo included. So we went to my mother's friend Rosina's house. And Santo, I believe, is Rosina's brother. And we had never met Santo before. He was kind of a funny, strange character. This is actually, I saw you looking down at this photograph. It's from the day in question. And Santo is holding a camcorder, pointing seemingly directly at the camera that took this photograph. But there is this fuzzy, hazy vignette around the whole image that leaves the center of the image with Santo perfectly clear, which I think is kind of fitting for what he taught, what he showed me.
What do you feel that haze might be?
I would like to think that it's energy, but I think it's probably just a crappy camera. So the most prominent memory from that day with Santo would be me and my sister in front of the couch in the living room, sitting around the table. And Santo got us to close our eyes and breathe. And he described this fantastical visualization.
Do you remember what Santo's voice was like?
I do. It was really calm and deep, but smooth. So he said the first thing you'd have to do would be to feel your body against the floor, your feet against the floor if you're sitting, feel grounded, and to feel your place on the earth. To close your eyes. To breathe. And to imagine a narrow beam of light coming down from straight above the center of your spine. Coming down from as high as you can imagine. And piercing through the top of your head, traveling down your spine to your heart, and to imagine that light filling up your heart. And then to imagine your heart as a door, which you would open. Slowly opening that door and imagining the light spilling out. He directed us to shine that light from the doorway into the room, and even to imagine that light as tiny floating hearts. The energy of other people's bodies, the auras, a glow around your head, the different colors say something about the energy of that person, and he knew everyone's colors in the room.
What did he say specifically about yours?
He said that mine was green. He said that I had a very powerful aura, which I would love to believe. At this point, I was very interested. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I could see what looked like auras around people's bodies that day. Just this kind of haze, yellower than what's in this photograph, but much more amorphous. He was playing a kind of enchanting figure, entertaining the kids who were in grief. it felt almost as if he was telling me that my mother wasn't dead, that her energy was still around. But it felt so clear and crisp that she was dead, that she was not there. I know I sound bitter, maybe, or skeptical in recounting some of this, but he told me something about my mother's aura. He told me what color my mother's aura, I think I asked.
Did you see anything around Santo?
Yeah. It's hard to be as skeptical in recounting some parts of this. His aura was by far the most bright.
What color?
Practically white. It seemed almost holy.
His name is Santo, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was really embracing the holiness personality.
Can you still see auras today?
I don't think so.
What changed?
I remember for the following few years, I was convinced I had some sort of power, some sort of special attribute that had been bestowed on me. I remember seeing the auras of teachers in my class and of people speaking at pep rallies. But I began to notice that it was almost always just when I'm looking at someone for a long enough time, when I'm staring at somebody, paying attention, that I begin to see what Santo called an aura. And I'm of two minds of that. One of them is that Santo told us that you really had to focus and you had to look to see what other people can't see. And the other side of me thinks that it's just my eyes and my mind playing tricks on me. And I slowly began to believe in this experience with Santo less and less, and to the point that I stopped even trying to see auras.
Has it ever come back, even just for a minute, after those first couple of years?
So this is the part that really keeps my skepticism at bay, is that when I asked Santo what color my mother's aura was, he told me, without pause, that it was this brilliant lime green and this deep saturated purple. And for the next 16 years, I would see this purple and green swirling over me, usually at night when all the lights went out, and especially in times when I was feeling the worst, when I was feeling distraught or when I was feeling upset and useless, helpless, I would see these blooms start to form above me of purple and green that would engulf me. And I still do.
How does that feel?
It feels comforting. When I'm lying in bed and feeling miserable, having those colors return to me, it's hard not to think of my mother literally coming down and embracing me.
Why haven't you ever reached out to Santo in these years?
It felt like such a monumental task to revisit the emotions of that day and to reach out to someone who had such an impact on me that I haven't been able to digest why he felt that he had the right to introduce this non-physical entity into my understanding at a time in which the most important person to me had just left the physical world. And then to essentially disappear because Santa was never a part of our life except for one afternoon. It felt like he offloaded this magical alternative view of life and death when I was struggling to understand what had happened.
If you ran into Santo again today, would you have him teach you again?
I think I'd want to. I haven't ever stopped to make up my mind of what happened that day.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see?
I want so badly to look like my mother.
What's your name?
My name's Colby. My mother's name was Rita.
How often do you imagine alternate futures?
A lot. I wish I could feel the reality where my mother is still alive.
And do you think that's a literal place?
Yeah. Yeah.
Colby Richardson is a video artist living in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And for this episode, Colby made us a visual representation of the aura-like colors that he sometimes sees when he's laying down for bed. We've posted this video up on our social media accounts, and you can watch it there. We're at HBM Podcast. You can also find more of Colby's work at colbyrichardson.com. Colby's wanted to talk to Santo for many years, to ask him about some of his thinking behind the stuff that he showed Colby back in 2003. Recently, he finally reached out to Santo and discovered that Santo's become quite ill. So for now, some of Colby's questions remain unanswered. But over on our website, you can see that photo of Santo with the white fog surrounding him. You can also see a picture of Colby's mom, Rita, and a picture of Colby's cats. We're at hbmpodcast.com. Now, in other news, we asked you at the beginning of last episode for some help identifying some stories that Beth heard as a child. A sharp listener recognized one of them. The story of the evil stepdad getting launched into space was in fact a short story by Stephen King called The House on Maple Street. So thank you, listener Heis Van Straten. We really appreciate it. Beth's still looking for the name of the other story. It's a story about time travel and getting stuck in the future. You can hear Beth's full recollection of that at the beginning of episode 127. Okay, my name is Jeff Entman. I produced this episode of Here Be Monsters with help from Bethany Denton. Music by The Black Spot. Here Be Monsters is distributed by KCRW. Our senior editor there is Kristen Lepore. We get additional support for freelance contributions from KCRW's Independent Producer Project. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.